And if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 4. We're going to be finishing up Romans tonight, the fourth chapter. Finishing the fourth chapter of Romans, we're going to be looking at verse 13. Verse 13 tonight, we're going to be beginning. It says this, verse 13 of Romans chapter 4. I hear some pages turning. I'll hold off just for another second or so. Verse 13 says this, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." If you remember, the last couple of weeks we've been studying about how righteousness is not by doing good deeds. Remember, we said a couple of weeks ago, it's not about being a good person. It's not about being not that bad of a person. And we found out that it's about having faith in God. It's about putting our trust wholly, 100% in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even though we don't deserve salvation, even though we don't deserve to go to heaven, we are able to by accepting that free gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And it's a glorious thing because we blow it so many times, don't we? We get down on ourselves, we make mistakes, and we're just smacking ourselves going, why are you doing that again? How many times do you have to learn this lesson? How many times do you have to go through and experience this? And we get down on ourselves. But the Lord, through the whole thing, is there with us, saying, I loved you at your worst. I see you glorified and perfect and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't see you as someone who has made mistakes. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means you are sparkling clean, pristine. You're like, yeah, all right, I am good to go. I'm good to go to heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ covered my sins. And so that's what we're seeing through here. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He threw off those filthy rags of trying to do it on his own and trying to be a good person in himself. And he believed in God. He put his faith in God. He put his trust wholeheartedly in God. And he started rocking that righteous white robe, purified. Purified in the sight of God. And the heirs of Abraham, the lineage, the people that learn from Abraham are partakers in that because they believe in God as well. Likewise, you and I. But that promise, what is Paul referring to here? Open in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to look at a little more in-depth look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Genesis 18, verse 9. We're going to see a little bit more about Abraham, about Father Abraham. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 18, and we'll be picking up in verse 9. Genesis 18, verse 9 says this. This is when the Lord had met Abraham and told him that he was going to have a son. He appeared to him back there in his, outside his tent. Abraham and Sarah were hanging out at their tent, and the Lord appeared to them. Lord appeared to them, and what does it say? It says in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 18, "And then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And so he said to them, 'Here in the tent.' In verse 10, and he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him." Verse 11, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?' Verse 13, "And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord says rhetorically to Abraham. Do you think that's too hard? I mean, I can only picture Abraham and Sarah hanging outside their tent discussing their family. I could even be there right now and just picture myself listening to Abraham and Sarah talking about, our son is going to be so wonderful. My, he is going to be the father of the nations right under you, Abraham. He's going to be great. And I'd be like, wow, well, who's your son? Well, we haven't had him yet. Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Well, how old are you? Well, I'm 100 years old and wife's 90. I'd be like, oh, okay, bye. I'll see you later. And I can only imagine what they would be thinking. I'd be laughing too. If someone said that 100-year-old or around 100 and around 80, 90-year-old woman were going to have a child. I would laugh hysterically because it goes beyond comprehension. It goes beyond our normal reasoning of why and how things happen. Hey, sorry, man. Okay, well, just have fun, you know, enjoy yourself. Don't get too, you know, caught up in this fact that you're going to be having a child. Hate to break the news to you. It's not going to happen. That's what we would say. And so many times we're like that as well. Look at the impossible. Look at something that you thought could never happen. Look at something that you may have even experienced that there was absolutely no way that it was supposed to happen, but yet it happened. Everybody's laughing. Oh, yeah, right. Sure. And then it happens. I'm going, no way. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now turn over a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. We'll see the promise coming to pass. Genesis chapter 21. That promise that the old Abraham and Sarah would have a child was true because the Lord spoke it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Apparently not. And we'll pick up in verse 1 of chapter 21. It says this, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, like what we read back in Genesis 18. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. I like how he reiterates that. Whom Sarah bore to him. Yes, it's true. Isaac, verse 4 of Genesis 21. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old. 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. And she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Picture this, if you will. Someone, 100 years old, great, great, great grandpa and grandma, and they have this newborn child. Oh, who is this? Who's this little one in your family? Oh, this is our son. Oh, yeah. Come on now, tell me the truth. Who is this kid? It's not your son. No, really, it is. It's our son. It's your newborn child? Well, you guys are like 100 years old. That's impossible. No way. Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah. It blows my mind. I can't even begin to understand it. What would it have been like for everybody to see Abraham and Sarah have a newborn child when they're 100 years old? Isaac's name means laughter, appropriately. You got to laugh. You go, oh, wow, all right. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's unheard of. And that's the promise. That's the promise that God made to Abraham, that God made to Sarah. He said, you will have a son. You will be the father of many nations. You will be the father. And all those who believe and put their faith in God are children of Abraham. Children of Abraham, the seed actually speaks of the lineage, like the actual relatives of Abraham. But children are those who believe, who have faith in God, are called the sons, the children of Abraham. He is the father of nations, not just for the Jewish people, the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for us that aren't born into the Jewish family. He was the father of faith for us who believe as well. And it was nothing that he did. It wasn't about him taking extra vitamins in the morning or going on walks or doing his yoga class or whatever he does. It didn't change it. It wasn't about him trying to do something in his own physical strength. Because it's physically impossible to have a child when you're 100. It is. But yet God showed himself faithful. He promised. And what God promises, you can bank on. You can bank on to come to pass and to be truthful. And that is faith. It's even when it seems impossible. Even when you don't even know how you can believe anymore. It goes against all common sense why you should continue trusting in God in certain circumstances. And yet you continue to because God is faithful. God is faithful. Verse 14, back in Romans chapter 4, verse 14, continuing on, it says this, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. If you can be an heir of the kingdom of God by just doing it on your own, then why bother having to trust, is what this verse is saying. Why bother having to put your faith in God if you can go and earn it on your own? You can't. And that's exactly why we need to have faith in God. Verse 15. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. The law paints that line and says, don't step over that line. If you do, you've transgressed. Pastor Chuck, guys, I'm telling you, if you're not going to the midweek study on Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m., going through the book of Hebrews, you need to go. It's been an amazing study, and he spoke something that really, really hit home with me, and it was an analogy of what the law is like. The law is like a mirror, he said. It's just like if you go and stand in your bathroom in the morning, and you wake up, and you're about to brush your teeth, and you look in the mirror, and you can see your blemishes, you can see your faults, you can see your mistakes, you can see your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth. Oh, my face, where's the bag? Oh, or something. Where you're not proud of it. You look at it, and all it does is show you a reflection of what you are. I don't see anybody going to their mirrors and yelling at it saying, make me beautiful! Make me perfect! If you do, well, that's a different story. But it can't. It can't do it for you. It can't at all. All it does is point out who you are. I mean, you can stand in front of it and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And you wait a minute, it's like, not you. Well, that's what the law is like. The law is like that. It points out our sin. It points out the fact that we have faults. We have mistakes. We have things that pretty much can't change the way, you know, I look, where my nose is, my ears. I mean, there's some things you can do, but it doesn't change who you really are. It doesn't change who you are on the inside. The law doesn't make you perfect, just like a mirror won't change the way you look. I mean, you can break that mirror and paint pictures on it and try to fit your face in the mold of it, but it won't change you. Likewise, the law can't change a sinner. All it does is point out where the line is, where you know what not to do. And once you do that, you're guilty. And we all are. We all have blown it. We've all made mistakes. We've already established that. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Remember, going through the Romans road? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? Right. We can't obtain perfection on anything that we do. And this is what we've been stressing the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about Abraham, workings of the law. We've been looking at trying to be righteous apart from the Lord, and we can't do it. And we can't do it. The Lord's the only one that can make us beautiful. Isaiah 61:3, you don't have to turn there, but it says this. To console those who the Spirit of the Lord speaking says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The Lord's the one that makes us beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in His time. In His time. Because apart from Christ, we're sinners. We mess up. We're dirty. We're foul. We're full of . And you know what is. It's fill in the blank. But Jesus takes something that was just like Isaiah 61:3, that was ashes, burnt, destroyed, and He makes something beautiful out of it. He's the God of restoration. He's the God of redemption. He's the God of taking something that was supposed to be evil, something that was really messed up in your life, and He makes it beautiful so that you can look back and say, Lord, it's only by Your grace that I can stand here. Lord, it's only by Your love for me unconditionally that I can be whole, that I can be forgiven, that I can go to heaven, that I can experience joy and peace. God, I don't deserve that. We don't. God doesn't care if you deserve it or not. None of us deserve anything. What we deserve is to have to pay for sin, to have to pay with that price of death hanging over our head. But God chose in His mercy and in His love to exemplify grace and to impart that to you and I. In verse 16, Continuing on in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls the things which do not exist as though they did. Listen to that one more time. Read that. Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as they did. As though they did. Abraham and Sarah, dead physically. And God rejuvenated them, revitalized them, and took something that was seemingly impossible and made it happen. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the truth. And so many times we forget about that. So many times we forget that God is beyond our comprehension, beyond even our wildest imaginations, beyond anything we could ever ask or think is what God desires to do for us. Not because we deserve it. And I'm going to beat that home. We don't deserve it. We don't. We don't get what we deserve, which is death. We get what we don't deserve, which is life, which is forgiveness. There's so many things, guys, that you experience. I can't even begin to explain or even understand the details of your life. I don't have to. But you know what they are. You know what you experience. You know the things that you've had to deal with in your past. You know the things that have hurt you. You know the things that have stressed you out. You know the things that you thought you were just going off the deep end and never coming back. But somehow God had you on his bungee rope and went doing, and you went came right back up. And you're like, wow, what just happened? And God was gracious enough to give that to you, to give that to I. But you hear it, you hear it, you hear that what the word says, you read it. Some of you might even know it. Maybe you have a good head knowledge of it. You can quote some cool scriptures. But do you experience it? Do you actually go out and do it? I want to challenge you, just like I would challenge myself by reading these same things, to challenge you as well to go and do something with what the word of God says. Not to just be a hearer only, but a doer. A doer. You know, just do it. Jesus, not Nike. Just do it. Go out and do what God's called you to do, and that's to be a light. Remember in Matthew 5:16? And I hope you catch these verses, because they're great verses to just tuck away and hide in your heart. Matthew 5:16 says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. That means wherever you're going, you're just radiating. You walk through the dark crowd, they don't even have to hear you say anything because they hear it go zzzz, and you're just walking. What is that? And it's just like electricity or something. And it's just the joy of the Lord. It's just the Holy Spirit that gives you that presence. And you're a light wherever you go. Take those things that were meant for evil and give them to God. Whatever it is in your heart, whatever experience, whatever disappointment, whatever hurt, whatever pieces are left of your broken heart, whether that be from relationships, we always talk about, oh, he broke my heart, or she broke my heart. But sometimes family members let you down. Good friends let you down. People that you really trust let you down, and they hurt you deeply, and you're wounded. And you're thinking, what good can come out of this? My life is just like Isaiah 61 there. It's ash heap. Burnt like a crisp. And it's all scattered all over the place. God takes the impossible and he makes it possible. God takes those little microscopic, bite-sized pieces of your shattered existence and puts them all together and holds them together by his love. And he'll do that for you if you so choose to let him do it. So many times we think we have to do it on our own. You know, I got to go and do it. I can take care of my own business. I know how to handle the things that I have to handle. Don't do it anymore. Don't strive in your own strength. Don't strive in your own strength. Keep persevering for the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. I am hurting. There's not one of you out there that hasn't experienced something that's hurtful. Maybe you even walked in these doors tonight and you're carrying a heavy load. Maybe you've been ripped off. Give it to the Lord and let Him fight your battles for you. Trust in Him with your whole heart. Have faith. If Abraham can say, I'm having a child and I know it and I'm 100. We can do that too with our situations in our life. Even as impossible as it may seem. You might say, Gary, you know what the chances are of this happening? You know what the chances are for this? 1 in 1,000,000. I would be like, wow, as long as that one chance of God does it, you got 100% chance of it happening. It doesn't matter what man would set up as the odds of this happening. It doesn't matter who might have told you that it's too late for you. It doesn't matter who told you that, you know what? Really doesn't matter anymore. You might as well just go head off in that direction because you're too far gone. There's no one to come and get you. That's a lie. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Grace is imparted to those who don't deserve it. No one deserves it. And you haven't gone off the trail so far that you can't come back. Because if you can hear my voice right now hit your ears, the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. And it's saying, hey, be encouraged. Don't give up. Know that I'm here for you if you would just so much as call out on me. Later in Romans chapter 10, we're going to read about how it says, whoever puts their trust in the Lord will not be put to shame. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer to experience that which God has for you. It's going to be glorious. I love saying glorious. Pastor Chuck always says, glorious. It is glorious. It is glorious because it glorifies God when we praise Him. We praise Him because we get blessed when we don't deserve it. And when we glorify God, all we're doing is just saying who He is. You're marvelous. You're wonderful. You're the forgiver. You're the great restorer. You restore broken lives. You set captives free. You do amazing things. Amazing things. You give 100-year-olds brand new children. You do a lot of cool stuff. God, you're amazing. And Lord, I want it for my life. He'll meet you exactly where you're at. Exactly where you're at. And it's not about you going and changing your life and taking care of the details. It's about coming to Him as you are. Ephesians 2 says, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Unwrap that present. How many of you guys like getting presents? Big bows? Well, those of you who didn't raise your hands, no Christmas presents for you this year. No, we all do. We have presents. Oh, whoa, what is this? Little surprise? You go in your mailbox and there's a little package for you. You don't just sit there and look at it and go, whoa, that's really cool. And you go stick it on your shelf or something. What do? You open it up. It's like you guys that play video games. You get to play, you know, mom and dad got you PlayStation 2. You know it. And they wrapped it up and it's right there. You don't just go sit and look at it. You don't go, wow, it'd be really cool if I could maybe play that. Yeah, it has my name right on it. Can I open it? You don't just sit there. What's wrong with you? Wake up. Go open that present. For you tonight, open the present. It's got your name on it. It's a free gift of God. It's called salvation. It's called a new life. It's called being refreshed, revitalized, rejuvenated, purified. It's called a spiritual righteous robe. And you can put it on and wear it. Jesus Christ paid the price so that you could have that gift. But don't just leave it wrapped up. Open it up. Do something with it. Do something with it. Romans 8, which we'll read later on in a couple of weeks, says this, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings life. It fills us up. It gives us strength so that we can say, like Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. It's almost like I want to just be like, I can do all things. Yeah. But so many times we forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we put limits on God, don't we? We do. We say, well, I don't think that can happen. I don't think that that's really supposed to happen, right? I mean, look at all the other bad stuff that's been happening to me. I might as well just be having bad stuff happen to me all day. No, snap out of it. Snap out of it. Lord, help me. Help me keep my eyes on you, Lord. Help me keep my eyes on you. And he will uplift you. I promise you. I wouldn't stand up here and tell you this. I'm not saying this for my own health. Even though this does bring health to my soul. Because I'm telling you, reading the Word of God, it builds you up. Even when I get a chance to talk about it, I'm like, okay, this and that. But I can talk up here till I'm blue in the face and roll over and die. And it won't do anything for you unless you choose to hear it, to believe it, and to act upon it. Act upon it. To just do it. To exercise, do your spiritual exercises. To say, all right, Lord, I'm trusting in you. This one's going to be hard, but I think we can do it. Better believe you can do it. You can do it. And God's there with you. The second you ask Jesus into your heart, he promises you, I'll never leave you. He says, fear not, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 18, Romans chapter 4, continuing on. Who, speaking of Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Abraham didn't just hope it. He believed it. For you tonight, don't just hope it anymore. Don't be like the person who would say, I wish it would happen to me. Look at all these other cool stories in the Bible. Look what's happening to these people over here. Look what's happening to her. Did you see how the Lord blessed him? I wish it could happen to me. Don't wish it anymore. Don't wish it anymore. Believe in God with your whole heart. Trust him in all things and let him do the work. Let him do the work. He is great at doing that. He's great at doing the impossible. He's great at doing that work in you. He's faithful to complete it. It's time to believe with your heart, not just hear it. There's a Greek word, gnosko, and it means to know by experience. It means to know by actually experiencing something. It's one thing to say, I know what you're feeling, man. It must be hard to lose your mom. When you've never lost your mom, you don't know what it's like. But it's another thing when you have lost your mom and one of your friends has lost their mom and you can say, man, I know exactly how you feel. You've experienced it. God is going to take those past experiences, those things, even those things that you thought were going to be turned out for evil, and he's going to use those for his good. He's going to use those experiences in your life, ladies, to minister to other ladies. Girls that have experienced the same thing that you've experienced, you have a tremendous opportunity. Those of you that have turned your life over to the Lord, those of you who have turned your life over to the Lord, God is going to use those past experiences and he's going to not only take care of them, not only going to rock them and be like, what? That's not even an issue anymore. I am stronger than anything. But you are going to be able to now use that to minister to other people. You have a tremendous ministry. Those experiences that you've had are for a reason. They are for a reason. Likewise, you guys, those things that you've dealt with, the things that you've experienced, you're going to be able to, in return now, tell another brother and be like, hey, man, I know what's going on. God got me through it. He helped me. He's faithful. Keep trusting in him. Those past experiences, if you hang on to them and they're bad, they're going to eat you alive. You're going to be a root of bitterness inside of you where you just feel like you're sick to your stomach. You don't even want to think about it. You're going to mull over it. You're going to analyze it. And it's going to rear its ugly head here and there. It's time to cut off that ugly head. And be like, peace out. I'm done with that. That's the God that we serve. He's the one that heals the broken hearts. He's the one that covers those wounds. He's the one that takes the ashes of our life experiences and turns them into something beautiful. And then in return, not only he does that, not only does he do that, but he allows us the opportunity, the privilege to say, God got me through this, and he can get you through that as well. And it's a tremendous thing that we have, but so many times we don't unwrap the package. We just say, wow, that must work for somebody. I don't know about me. I'm kind of a tough nut to crack. It's all right. You should see God's nutcrackers pop. Doesn't matter how stubborn you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been saying no to it. God's going to meet you exactly where you're at, but you got to choose to let him do that work. You got to choose to believe in your heart. Verse 19. In closing through these next few verses, 19 through verse 21, I want to draw to your attention five things about Abraham. Five things. And we're going to be beginning here now in verse 19. It says this, speaking of Abraham, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at that first line, and not being weak. He was very weak physically, but that doesn't mean that you're weak spiritually. He was weak physically, but that does not mean that you're weak spiritually. The first thing it says there, it says he was not weak, and not being weak. In what? In faith. He wasn't weak in faith. He kept trusting in God. He kept believing in God. His faith was strong. Even though he was 100 years old and probably had his electric wheelchair and his 22-inch rims on his chair and everything and riding around, and there was no way he could have a child, he still believed and he hung on. He was not weak in faith. Secondly, I want you to observe, he did not consider. That phrase, those three words, did not consider. Interesting. Interesting. He didn't try to think about it. You ever had your friends, you're hanging out, and you're like, hey, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm thinking, hold on a second. And you're like, what did I tell you about thinking? You're not supposed to do that. Remember what happened last time? Got a bad headache, everything. It was awful. It says he did not consider. He did not consider. He didn't try to figure it out. How am I going to have a kid when I'm 100 years old? How is this going to happen? The appropriate scripture for this is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. First, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Secondly, lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. It says he was not weak in faith. He trusted in God. He trusted in the Lord with his whole heart. Secondly, he didn't try to figure it out. He didn't consider it. He didn't try to analyze, how am I supposed to have a kid when I'm 100 years old? He didn't do it. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And likewise, you can trust in the Lord with your whole heart. You can bank on his promises. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that God is good for the things that he says. And that's for real. He is going to come through 100 out of 100 times in every situation. Trust in him for that. Verse 20, we see the third thing that Abraham has attributed to. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What's the thing that he did not do? He did not waver. He did not vacillate. He didn't go back and forth. Oh, I don't know. God's going to bless me. I don't know about it. Sarah's pretty old. God can do all things. No, he didn't do that. He was right on and said, God's going to work it out. He did not waver. How many times do we waver? We're doing like this balancing act, trying to walk on a tightrope saying, well, Lord, are you going to bless me or are you not going to bless me? Are you going to take care of this or are you not going to take care of this? Don't waver. Don't waver. And how did he increase his faith? How did he strengthen his faith? Look at the last part of verse 20 there. Read it. It says he strengthened his faith by giving glory to God. That's how we strengthen our faith. We praise God. He gave glory to God and it strengthened his faith. If you're having a hard time trusting tonight, give glory to God. and he will strengthen your faith. Start praising him. I just got in a car accident. A brand new Toyota. Praise you, Father. I don't know why, but you are good. And you will get me through this. And he will. And that's a silly example, but I just want to make a point because there's so many things that don't turn out the way we want them to. Well, this wasn't on my game plan for the day. God, didn't we talk about this? We said that for the next couple weeks, everything was just going to be no problem. What's going on here? Trust in God and don't waver. Don't waver. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. If God can know every single need that you'll ever need before you even know that you need it, I think the only thing that you really need is to know that the only thing you need is God. How's that? God knows every single thing that you'll ever need, that you'll ever experience before it ever happens. Jesus even said, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. But not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. They grow up one day and then here comes the maintenance crew, cut them down and they're thrown in the fire. God clothed those. He sees every time a sparrow falls and hits the ground and he says, are you not more valuable than they? That's you. God knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all about you. He knows the things that you're going through. Don't waver. Give glory to God. Verse 21. We see the fifth thing. We see the fifth thing that Abraham did. It says, and being fully what? Convinced. He was convinced. There was no room for doubt. There was no room for doubt. And being fully convinced, verse 21 of Romans 4, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham knew for certain. God said, I'm having a kid. I'm having a kid. I am going to have a child. I know it. He promised me. You guys can bank on the promises of the Lord. So many times it's the hardest thing to do is trust. Especially when you've been let down. Especially when you feel like you've been burned. Well, I'm not doing that again. That's the last time I'm going to let anybody close to me. That's the last time I'm going to let anybody know who I really am on the inside. And we put the walls up. And we can't trust. We can't trust. And we walk around on the defense. We walk around with a burden on our shoulders because we're trying to carry it. We're trying to fight our own battles. And remember what we talked about before? That hurt that's on the inside, the root of bitterness that comes in, rears its ugly head. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. And the way you deal with it is by just saying, Lord, take it. Take it from me. I lay it down at your feet. Drop that like a bad habit. Get rid of it. And the Lord will take care of it and he'll heal you. That's a promise. It's not for every other person besides you. It's for you. It's for me. You can count on that. Verse 22. And because of these things that Abraham, he was convinced, he gave glory to God, he did not waver. Verse 22. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and he was accounted for righteous. He was convinced in his heart. He believed without a shadow of a doubt. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Don't get discouraged. Don't let past letdowns, failures, mistakes get you down. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's for people that have been walking with the Lord for 50 years or for 5 days. We do nothing to deserve it. We just open and unwrap that free gift, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. Verse 23 says this, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him," verse 24, "but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead." 25, "who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification." Guys, that's the simple message right there. He was crucified for our sins and he rose from the dead because he conquered sin and he conquered death. That's it. That is it. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to hook you guys up. And it's an amazing thing. Don't just be a hearer anymore. Maybe you feel like you've fallen into that category. I've heard it a million times before, but there's no change. Tonight's the night. Tonight's your lucky night. Right now is the time to change. Right now is the time to walk forward with the Lord. Right now is the time to be that woman, to be that man that God desires for you to be. And it will be unlike anything else, because it's not going to be anything that you've done. You didn't earn it. You just let go and you received. You let go of whatever was holding you back, the pain, the hurt, the sin. Give it to God. Lay it down at his feet and receive that gift and go out and be doers wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, and know that God is there with you and that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, God, just for your wonderful works. For us, though, we don't have to do anything, Lord. We don't have to try to earn salvation. We just accept it. We thank you for that, God. Lord, I thank you for each and every man and woman that's in here tonight. Those that are listening over the internet and on the radio right now. Lord, I ask that you would just be comforting their hearts, encouraging them right now by the power of your Spirit, uplifting them, convicting, drawing to you, Father, by the power of your Spirit. I know, Lord, that when you work, that nobody can hinder it. And so, Father, I'm asking just for your Spirit to pour out upon us now. Lord, I ask, God, that you would do an amazing, amazing work in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I ask that you would set us free completely. I ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit afresh upon us, God. You would meet every man and woman that is listening tonight, Lord, exactly where they need to be met. That you would minister to them, Lord, exactly in the capacity that they need to be ministered to. And Lord, I ask that you would set free those that are in bondage tonight. Those that have been stuck in a rut. I ask that they would be able to break free tonight, Lord, right now. I ask that they would be able to take that step to take your hand. And Lord, lift them up and out, just like you did Peter when he was walking on the water, when he began to sink. Lord, I ask that you would do that too tonight. Lord, I ask right now, just for your love to be poured out, God. I thank you for how much you love us. We praise you that you are a glorious, wonderful God. Lord, we praise you for your wonderful works. Lord, we praise you and give glory to your name, Lord, because you're faithful. Thank you, Father, for being faithful to us. And Lord, right now I ask that you would just give those strength, Lord, that need to make a commitment to you tonight, Father. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like you guys just to hang out for a little bit, just to start praying right now.
I will listen for your voice, hear you call on me, the way I know you want me to. And I will try to find your heart down here on my knees. I need to see things the way you do. And I will walk the darkest valley. I will leave the world behind. I will give all that's inside me. I will. And I will lay down all my pride. I will strain to see the light. I will try to do what's right. I will. And I will. Promises right here in my heart, and there your words will always stay. And I will hold you through the good, because you held me through the bad. You were always there to rescue me. And I will walk the darkest valley, and I will leave the world behind me. I will give all that's inside me. I will. And I will lay down all my pride. I will strain to see the light. I will try to do what's right. And I will. And I will. Faith is the heart.
Power that are
want you to move through us. We want you to speak to us in this place. Come and seize us. You open up the heavens and show your face. You have been faithful to every nation. Father,
my desire. More than silver, more than gold. More than living rich or dying old. Your love is my desire. Let your love consume my soul. Everlasting flames melt this heart of stone. Your love is my desire. Your love is my desire. Separates me from your love. Your love is my my desire.
Sing that fire.